Hey guys, welcome to Football Casuals. My name is Owen. I major in business. I find the NFL to be the most entertaining sport to watch. I've been disappointed for 19 years, but I'm a Vikings fan, so the punishment fits the crime.
What's up, guys? I'm Eric, coming to you from Knoxville, Tennessee. I work part-time as a table breaker for the Bills Mafia and a Press Falls fan on the side.
So what we're going to be doing is we're just going to give you our thoughts and some insight and then our predictions on these Week 7 matchups. Let's just get right into it. We got the Thursday night game, Denver at Cleveland, and Baker Mayfield is out. We will be seeing Case Keenum take the field. It's 8:08 right now, and like maybe like 15 minutes ago, they said Baker suffered from a shoulder injury. Was that right,
Yeah,
Eric?
it was a shoulder fracture with a torn labrum. So we're getting pretty bad over there.
Yeah, he's been playing through the season with it, so he hasn't looked his best the past couple weeks. So Case Keenum will be making the start for the Browns, and he does not have a good situation coming into. He has Nick
Not at
Chubb and Kareem
all.
Hunt out. Hunt's on IR, Chubb's out. They will be having D'Ernest Johnson take the backfield. So it's he definitely won't be as productive as Chubb or Hunt.
Yeah, and I mean, you also definitely got that Odell. Do we know if he's playing yet or not, or is he still
He's
questionable?
questionable. He probably will play. He played last week, but he's still not gonna be regular Odell.
Nah, he's got to step it up. He's
He needs
especially
to.
this week.
Another person who needs to step up again is Donovan Peoples-Jones. He had a huge week last week, 100 yards and
Huge
two
week.
TDs
Yeah, I
against
mean
the Cardinals. He was their only scorers. I mean, he'll need to play a big game.
absolutely. You know, I definitely think Odell's got to step up though, because this is not going to be an easy game for him, since Denver secondary is supposed to be.
They're supposed to be good. They are supposed to be good on paper, and this season they've been rather disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, what a started 3-0, 0-3 in the last 3 weeks. How do you do that to
Yeah,
yourself?
it's unfortunate. Some of it's bad coaching, but
Oh
at
yeah.
the end of the day, you have good players. You have a talented roster. You just gotta make the plays, and they haven't been
Yeah,
doing that.
but I tell you what, they need a QB.
They
They
do
need
need
a
a
QB.
QB. I just
I
don't
love
think.
Bridgewater,
Yeah,
but
not,
it's
he's
not
not
gonna
their
do it for
guy.
them.
And Locke isn't their guy either. They should probably. I don't really care for any of the QBs in the draft coming up, but they should definitely. There are rumors of maybe getting Tua. That was one of the
Yeah,
rumors.
I have heard this 3-year deal, or 3-team deal coming up potentially with I've heard Washington, Miami, and the Texans, and I've also heard Denver,
Me as well.
Washington, or Denver, Texans, and Miami. I think Tua would fit well in Denver, but I think they're leaning closer to Washington.
I don't care for Tua, so wherever he goes, I don't think he'll be their franchise guy, but they obviously don't like him in Miami.
Well, yeah, I don't know what's going on. I would prefer him over Deshaun Watson playing against Josh, but
Yeah.
we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. They said by the end of this week, so we should be. I'm
Yeah,
curious
and the trade deadline's
tomorrow.
closing in, so if it's not by the end of this week, they gotta get it done soon.
But I don't know. A 3-team deal is hard to do, so.
Yeah, that is. Okay, so moving on to the Denver side of the ball. Bridgewater is questionable, but he's most likely gonna make the start. Melvin Gordon is also questionable, so Javonte Williams will be getting more snaps. So he should have a decent game. Nothing crazy, maybe like 80 yards, maybe a score.
Yeah, I don't see Denver's run game making a huge impact this week.
Yeah,
I think
it'll definitely be the receivers that are stepping up.
yeah, 'cause oh, Jerry
He's
Jeudy should be
still
coming
injured.
back.
No, he
Oh,
won't
he's
be
not coming
back.
back yet?
He and KJ Hamler are out, so
Oh.
it's Sutton, Tim Patrick, and
He's been
some
good.
other guy. I can't remember, but
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know the
so
third.
but Courtland Sutton will most likely be lining up against Denzel Ward, and so he's gonna the So Sutton's had some very good games, but when he played against the Giants the first week, he lined up against James Bradbury. And when he played the Ravens, he went up against Humphrey, and he was held to 50 yards or less in both games. So he was shut down by star corners, and going up against Denzel Ward's no easy task. So he's gonna have to put up some numbers this game to really bolster the pass game.
Oh yeah, he's gonna have to step it up. But I think he can. I think Sutton's a quality receiver. Tim Patrick, I know, has been pretty consistent, so he'll make up for some. But I think Sutton's got it in him. He's just gotta make that one little step.
And also the Browns, their linebacking core is kind of in shambles. I mean, JOK is playing good ball, but other than that, Anthony
I think
Walker,
JOK got injured.
is he out, or do you think he's just questionable?
I don't know. I thought I saw some last week about a JOK getting injured. Let's see.
Let's see here.
I could be totally wrong though.
Oh, you're right. He's on IR.
yeah, so they're really
Okay,
struggling at
yeah, he's
linebacker.
out with an ankle injury. So yeah, they're down bad on the Browns. So
Yeah.
look for Noah Fant to have a huge game. He
Oh
should
yeah,
he should
absolutely.
be getting a lot of catches.
I can totally see it. Yeah, Noah Fant's one of those top tier tight ends, so
Yeah, he
we'll see what he can do.
for sure. So, do you have anything else to add about this, Eric?
I mean, I think you covered it. I think I do believe that the Browns will be taking this home, but Denver's got a shot.
It's
Denver's got a
gonna
real chance.
be a close game. The point total is 43, and the spread is 2 points. And so I have the Cleveland winning, and I think they'll cover the spread.
Yeah. I mean, with just a field goal difference, it's definitely gonna happen. But I think if Denver can get any sort of run game going, especially against Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney, and just that Browns D line that's insane, I think Denver can pull this off. But they have to get a run game going, and Sutton and Tim Patrick have to help Noah Fant out
They do.
in that end zone. So yeah, we'll see what happens with them.
Okay. Well, that's all for the Denver Cleveland game. So the next game is Washington at Green Bay. And the football team, they're coming off a bad loss versus the Chiefs. Heinicke did poorly against a very bad on the season Chiefs defense. The Chiefs defense has played really good teams, but they still were one of the worst defenses in the league. Heinicke, he put up 180 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. So not a good game at all. The football team will most likely their Gibson is out, correct? He's questionable, but
Yeah,
he had
he's
a shin
questionable.
injury that he's been playing through. So I
Yeah.
don't expect him to get a lot of snaps on the ground
I
just
got him
because
in
it's been
fantasy, so I'm
bothering
hoping.
him. Yeah.
I'm
So
praying he gets some touches because I can't give him to McKissick.
but see, that's where I think that's where the touches are gonna go. I mean, with Gibson, he's questionable, but he's like one of those players I don't think will be playing just because of the extent of his injury and how long it's been bothering him. He could play, but that means McKissick is gonna get more snaps. Their other backup, Jarrett Patterson, will probably get more of the on the ground snaps, whereas McKissick's still probably gonna have his part in the receiving game, maybe to
Oh
more
yeah.
extent now that Gibson might not be playing.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think McKissick's gonna have a big game receiving here.
Yeah, he's broke out in the past before, so he should be fine. The Packers, they have Za'Darius Smith. He is on IR, so he is still out, and that is not good for them in stopping the run because he's one of the better pass rushers in the league.
Yeah, am I correct in that I'm seeing that Jair's injured?
Yeah, Jair's been out for a couple weeks, so
I didn't
this is
even
a
hear
chance
about
for Terry
that.
McLaurin to have a big game.
Not only that, I think McKissick's got a chance to really go off in the passing game because, I mean, I don't know where Curtis Samuel's been. He's been a healthy scratch for a couple weeks now. But I mean, McKissick's really going to be probably their wide receiver too.
Yeah.
Which I just find it's bizarre. But, you know, I think with, I guess, yeah, and I didn't even know Jair was out, but Jair's out. Your best corner for Green Bay is, who is it, Isaac Yiddum or Eric Stokes? I think
they have Eric Stokes and Kevin King playing the cornerback roles. So it's not looking good. It's not looking good for the Packers. McLaurin should be up for a big game. They're new tight end since Logan Thomas got placed on IR. Ricky Seals-Jones, Washington's tight end. He had a breakout game last week. He played pretty well against the Chiefs. Yeah, so he might have a good game as well here too.
Adam Humphries could do well too because he was on Tennessee last year, wasn't he?
I believe so.
Yeah, and he did all right for them at third string. So I think he could do well too.
Yeah, so I think the football team's offense should be pretty good this week against the Packers.
Absolutely. I think the Packers might actually be facing a problem here. I almost want to pick Washington.
Yeah.
Because Washington's got the offense advantage here with Green Bay's defense is clearly
the only thing is that their quarterback is Heinicke. The Packers quarterback is Rodgers.
Right.
So
right. It's the big
you can never count Rodgers out, is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be curious though. We'll see what happens.
It's pretty much the same story on the opposite side of the ball. The football team's defense has not been playing like what they were expected to. They're completely underperforming. Which means Devontae Adams is going to have a great game. Yeah.
He's going to have a field day out there. I think this has got to be one of the probably one of the two weirdest teams to play against because you got what? One of the probably top tier offense in the NFL on both sides, exceptioning the QB for Washington, but if Washington's defense goes anywhere close to what it was last year, I think this is a lock for Washington this week.
Yeah. Agreed. But Aaron Jones could also have a monster game.
Absolutely.
At least
always.
At least receiving wise on the ground it might be a little less because Washington's D-line has fared up pretty well to what they were expected, but
yeah.
Receiving wise, Aaron Jones could have a pretty good game, and I expect Devontae Adams just have a monster game. Whoever's guarding him is going to be a nightmare to face up against Adams.
I'm looking at who he's getting guarded by. I don't even know this guy's name.
B. St. Just?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is going to get killed.
Yeah.
Why would you? I don't. If I'm Washington, why am I not putting Kyle Fuller on him?
Yeah. I just think their defensive backfield has been rather disappointing this year. Even with their safeties, Cameron Curl and Landon Collins, they haven't been doing what they're supposed to.
Fuller's slow, though, so I guess that makes sense, but Devontae, I wouldn't cover him with anybody other than my best corner. I don't know why you'd do that.
So,
I guess we'll see. I think this is going to be an interesting game.
Yeah, it should be.
An 8.5 spread, 8.5 spread.
And 49-point total.
I don't see that happening at all. I think this is going to be a really close game.
Yeah. Before, I thought the Packers would cover the spread, but now you've kind of convinced me. So I still have the Packers winning, but I think the football team will cover the 8.5 spread.
Yeah, I can't see Green Bay winning by more than a touchdown. Not with their defense the way it is. And, I mean, Washington's offense has been pretty solid. I mean, they put up a decent amount of points to the Bills, who, contrary to what last week showed, have what, one of the top three defenses in the league?
Yep.
I mean, you put up, I think it was almost 23 points.
Yeah.
So
They're capable of doing things. Heinicke just needs to have a good game.
They have the skill. It all depends on Heinicke here.
Yep. Because both defenses are going to give up points. Let's just be honest. It's just who has a better offense.
Yeah, this is going to be a slugfest.
And Heinicke has more weapons, but he's not Aaron Rodgers, so.
Right. And Aaron Rodgers does have Devontae Adams.
Yep.
And McLaurin's good, but McLaurin's no Adams. So we'll see.
We will.
But they have a very similar offensive scheme. They have their one star wide receiver, and then the star running back, and then that, like, they don't have any. I mean, Green Bay, Randall Cobb isn't really, you know, a great second wide receiver. Like,
yeah, they are very similar. Decent tight ends.
They're centered around their stars, and yeah, they have nothing else around them though. So, yep, it's kind of weird. It's gonna be a slugfest though.
It will be. It'll be a good game to watch. Now we will get ourselves into the Titans, the Chiefs at the Titans with a 57.5 total.
Best game of the week.
This should be the best game, hopefully. Hopefully the Titans don't disappoint. I mean, Eric, how do you feel about last week being a Bills fan?
It made me cry. It was brutal. But I think the Titans do it. It's always a battle between the Bills and the Titans. I think the last played them at least the last 4 years. 2 years ago, we were beating them, but every year, without a doubt, Titans put us in a chokehold. Last year, even I think we lost. I think like 50-14 or something like that. So I'm pretty used to the Titans killing us.
Yeah, it was one of the bigger upsets of the season, as the Bills have been viewed as one of the top teams in the NFL.
Yeah, okay, so last year, you know, our insane year, the year people finally started respecting me, we lost 42-16 against the Titans.
Yeah.
So I think it is safe to say that, you know, this loss doesn't mean anything, everything. It's not the end of the world for the Bills, but that sucked.
So the main part about this thing, Derrick Henry just came off with 143 yards and 3 touchdowns against I believe they are the best defense in football, the Bills defense, and he just ran 143 yards and 3 touchdowns on him.
Yeah,
transfer to a Chiefs defense, who is one of the worst defenses in the game. Henry's gonna have a heyday.
Oh, Henry's gonna go off. Brown's going to go off. Jones is going to go off. This is going to be a slugfest again, because the Titans defense is known for being bad. I know at least two or three corners went out during the Bills game. This secondary on the Titans is already ink thin. This is going to be a slugfest. It's going to be brutal, and I think this is going to be a great game.
Yeah, it'll definitely be a great game. Tannehill's going to have to just keep being Tannehill, just getting the balls into his receiver's hands. AJ Brown and Julio both came back last week and both performed all right, but Henry just put up too many yards and points for Brown and Jones to matter. But maybe since Kansas City's offense is so high powered, they'll be putting up points on the board, so the Titans will be forced to pass more, making Brown and Jones have more targets and more productivity on the field.
If the Chiefs offense plays anything like they were playing against the Bills 2 weeks ago, this won't even be that tough of a game. It's gonna be pretty easy.
Yeah.
But or at least for the Titans. But the Chiefs, I mean, they've been a letdown this year, so we'll see. They gotta step up.
Mahomes has been putting up the yards and the touchdowns, but he's also been putting up the turnovers.
Yeah, he's one of the highest in the league, isn't he?
Yep. Well, just last week, I mean, he put up a bunch of yards, but he had 2 interceptions and a fumble. And it's like, you gotta negate these.
Especially
against a high-powered offense that you're going up against, and you have to rely on a bad defense. These possessions are gonna matter.
Turnovers are the key to this game, because whenever one of these offenses gets to the field, they're going to score. Yep. They're going to score, and they're going to score quickly. It's going to be – the Chiefs can't turn the ball over, and Titans just have to make sure they use Derrick Henry. You can't just throw the ball. They can't rely on Tannehill the whole game. Derrick Henry is their player. He is the guy to stop.
He's the centerpiece, yep. And that's what the Chiefs defense, the first quarter, they need – to control Henry. Otherwise, he's just going to run all over them all game. They have a chance of stopping the receiving game, but if they can't put Henry down quick, they're going to be in for a
Yeah, it
tough
doesn't
game.
matter. Yeah, I will say, Chris Jones on the Chiefs. They have a good defensive line. Because the Bills threw on them, and that's how we beat them. But the run game, I don't think we've really seen that strong of a run game play against them at all this year. Because they did play the Chargers. No, they played the Chargers. No, they did, and they lost. Wow, they lost to the Chargers and the Ravens, who both have strong run games with Eckler and Lamar. So I don't know. I think Titans
yeah.
got them.
It'll be a good game. Speaking of Chris Jones, his normal position is playing inside D tackle or edge, rush tackle, but they moved
right.
him to the outside, and he has not been as productive. They need to move him back in because he was one of the top.
I am curious why they did
rush tackles. I don't know why they did it, but they need to
Frank
move him
Clark
back in.
Is still playing for him, right?
He is.
Okay, because I know he got into some controversy earlier this year.
Yeah, but move Chris Jones back inside. They already they took out the monstrosity that was Daniel Sorensen, and they replaced him for the person they should have played from the start of the season, Juan Thornhill, and that automatically made their backfield better. But it might just be some coaching things over there they need to figure out, but I don't know who I have more confidence in their defense stopping the other's offense, because they're both high-powered offenses and they're both bad defenses.
Yeah.
But I feel like I have more confidence in the Titans offense rolling over the Chiefs defense than vice versa.
I think I do as well. The only thing is that because I'm looking at their previous schedule. So they lost to the Bills, tough defense, tough offense. They lost to the Chargers. Tough defense, good offense. They lost the Ravens. Ravens defense has been struggling.
It has been.
So I'm starting to think, I think the Titans can pull this off because I think they have a similar makeup to the Ravens. The only difference is it's not read options. It's just, letting Derrick Henry run with it. So I think the Titans pull this off.
I had the Chiefs winning, but I think I completely agree. I think the Titans win. And they cover. I think they win, and the Chiefs will cover the 5.5 spread.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a very close game. It's going to be a slugfest. I think it's whoever comes away with more turnovers, and I think Kevin Byard and the Chiefs or and the Titans defense can pull it off.
I agree.
All right, so now we got the Falcons at the Dolphins this week, with Atlanta favored -2.5. So I think the big story here is obviously Tua. Because not only is Tua, he's going to play this week. I think that's a no-brainer, but it's this whole trade situation, how that's going to affect him playing. So, Owen, I'm sure you've heard about the old trade situation that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, I remember.
Three trades. Do you think that's got any impact potentially on what he's going to be doing?
So, it just depends. If Tua wants to keep the job in Miami's, he had a pretty good game last week. He made some dumb decisions, missed a throw or missed a run, and when he threw it, but he played I think it was his best game of his career actually last game. But he'll definitely need to come back strong if he wants to stay down in Florida. But if he's looking to go somewhere else, I mean, just keep playing like Tua.
Yeah, I think this. I think Tua's got it. Tua here has to make the decision of whether he wants to stay in Miami and try and prove his worth, or whether he wants to leave. Because I mean, even if the trade's done, before the end of the week, or before the game, then would Tua even play for the Dolphins?
No.
Or would
he would not?
No. Okay. Yeah.
It would be Brissett.
Brissett starting. So that really changes the way this game goes. If Brissett starts, I have the Falcons winning. But Tua comes back, then clearly it's going to go back to the Dolphins. Because, look, the Dolphins are 1-1 with Tua and 0-4 under Brissett. So clearly there's an effect there that Tua brings that Jacoby Brissett does not.
Yeah.
One
win.
So
let's go Tua.
Yeah. One win. But I mean, I'd take 50 over, or no, I'd take one over
four losses.
Zero, as a, yeah. So, but the problem with the Dolphins right now, I would say, is that their secondary is in shambles, or could be, considering Xavien Howard and Byron Jones are still questionable. So if those two are out, Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage are going to go off.
Yeah, and this middle linebacking core, Andrew Van Ginkle, these whole bunch of mediocre players. Kyle Pitts, he should have another brilliant game like he did against the Jets.
Yeah, I definitely think so. The only problem is that Dolphins got a pretty crappy O-line right now. Two of their starters are already questionable, and they were already not good. So
yeah,
this Falcons defense, if they step up, can come back. But their defense is ranked, I think, in the bottom five. So
probably
I can't see them stepping up, but they totally could against Myles Gaskin, who I can't decide if he's good or not.
Yeah, dude, they just need to give him the playing time. 2 weeks ago, he had a huge receiving game. He did really well, and then last week, he probably got less than five runs. It was sad to see because he's a talented player.
Yeah, no, he got like five runs for like 9 yards. You can't tell if he's really really good or not because Dolphins just keep switching up what they're doing with their play time.
Yep.
But I mean, with the Falcons, they are favored to win. They are entirely healthy, but they haven't beat anybody who's really that good this year yet. I mean, they only beat the Jets and the Giants, who are arguably some of the worst teams in the league, and got brutally destroyed by Philadelphia earlier this year. So,
however, Dolphins are 1-5, and the only team they beat was New England with a rookie quarterback in his first game.
This is gonna be a
battle of bad teams.
Yeah, it's lesser of two evils there.
Yeah, and with the Falcons coming off the bye week, they should be. I think they'll be ready to go. I think Ridley is gonna have a big game. He's been resting for 2 weeks. He didn't play the Jets game.
That's true.
Cordarrelle Patterson, we forgot about him. He should have a pretty good role in this offense.
I'd love for the Falcons to get that run game going, because I mean, Cordarrelle Patterson's doing a lot of receiving, but I mean, their true running back Mike Davis, you don't really see much of him. He's not doing much. He is not.
But so something on the Dolphins. Jaylen Waddle finally had his breakout game against the Jaguars last week. See, he had 70 yards and 2 touchdowns. So huge game coming out from Waddle in Jacksonville's receiving core. While young and talented, they're still inexperienced, and so against a somewhat inexperienced cornerback or defensive back core, it looks like Jaylen Waddle shined, and that's exactly what the Falcons have with AJ Terrell and Fabian Moreau, some young players that have potential, but they're just inexperienced.
Yeah, and I think the loss of the Jags shouldn't come off as too big for the Dolphins, because the Jags broke their 20 game losing streak, but the Dolphins were also down both starting corners, so it's not like Trevor Lawrence was threatened by anybody.
Yeah.
So I think Dolphins are a little bit stronger now with Tua back, and if they can get Howard and Jones back, I think Dolphins are strong enough to conquer this Atlanta team. So I'm saying Dolphins, assuming Tua is not traded before Sunday.
Yeah, I honestly don't know if this trade's going through. I feel like it's too complicated for it to go through, but
it's going to have to be. I think a three-team trade is a stretch. I think it's going to have to end up being a two-team, but reports are saying Tua is not going to Texas, so don't know how they plan on working that out.
Yeah. Another person who's going to get an active role in this Dolphins offense is Mike Gesicki. He seems to be Tua's favorite target. He also seemed to be Brissett's favorite target. Last week he had 9 targets. He caught 8 of them for 115 yards. He's going to be there. He's going to put up some numbers. So
he's going to put up some. Although I think Deion Jones is going to.
Deion Jones. You think he's going to shut him down?
I think so. I think Deion Jones is one of the best of the best there. So we'll see what happens.
Pretty good linebacker. So right now the point total is 47.5. The spread is 2.5. I have the Falcons winning and covering the spread. What about you, Eric?
I have Dolphins winning.
Okay.
So, a little upset. All right, so Jets-Patriots, Battle of the Rookie QBs Part 2 with Mac Jones and Zach Wilson. Now, let's throw it back for a minute. Let's take a look back at what happened in Week 2. Zach Wilson throws 4 picks in his debut. Wow. That is pretty bad. The Patriots won that game 25-6, which I gotta say that's not great considering Zach Wilson threw 4 picks to them. They definitely didn't capitalize
on their opportunities.
That should have been a much higher scoring game. I think the Jets actually played good defense in that game. I think the defense is out on the field too long, and I think that is the key to this game. That is the key to this game because Zach Wilson had a great game against the Titans. If they find that offense ever again throughout this year, and they find it this week, they can win.
They can pull off an upset.
Right, because if you look at the Patriots' defense this week, this is just part of their questionable starters list. Kyle Van Noy, Jalen Mills, Dante Hightower, Jonathan Jones, Chase Winovich is on IR. And Dietrich Wise Jr. is also gone. That's every star they have. Every star they have is injured. And on top of Dietrich Wise and Chase Winovich, they don't have a single defensive end that's listed as healthy. Their whole team is toast. Their whole defense is.
Yep.
I like this against the Jets offense. This might actually work because they have no defense.
How well is Belichick's defensive scheme of toying with rookie quarterbacks going to work when all I see is red letters next to this Patriots defense?
All I see is red letters. They're going to be full of just they're going to have to move someone from the practice squad for this defensive line because
Eric, get your cleats. You might have to go on down to Boston and start cleating up for the game. Put you on the D line.
Meet up with
first round pick Elijah Vera Tucker in the A gap. That's all I'm saying.
Elijah Vera Tucker. Bro, he killed me.
You're healthy.
That is true. They are not. They can throw me up against Mekhi Becton on IR.
Mm-hmm. That's smarter.
So we have the Patriots. They barely beat the Texans this year. That's one of their few wins, but their only losses are to the they've only lost the Cowboys, Bucks, and Saints.
Those are good opponents.
And they
kept it close
bad.
With the Bucks and the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm. But it's weird because this team is just so interesting because they have no defense. Their offense is really not great on paper. But yep. they pull these close games and then they barely beat the Texans. I don't know how they do it.
It is very weird. It could just be Belichick. It could.
I might have to give it to him there. And then we go on to the other side of the ball where we have Marcus May and CJ Mosley questionable. If even one of these guys is out, it's devastating because these two are
their playmakers on their defense.
I think Quinnen Williams, they have him. He's pretty good. But, I mean, their defense is centered around
the Jets' defensive line is pretty good. So you won't be seeing a lot of – I mean, the Patriots, they are a run-heavy team. But I don't know how efficient they will be tonight. Damian Harris will probably get, like, 20 carries for, like, 70 yards. Just because they run. But – It's not. I don't think it'll be productive running.
Yeah, Mac Jones and the slant routes are gonna have to come out here, especially if CJ Mosley goes out, these slant routes that and just short passes that Mac Jones makes can be huge for this game.
Yeah,
absolutely have to.
Yeah, Mac Jones. He's super consistent. Like he doesn't miss throws. But like he's not a risk taker most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But he does have some plays that are very questionable.
Oh, yeah. Mac Jones, I gotta say, this rookie class has been so disappointing.
It
so
has.
Far.
To have Mac Jones, the last first round pick quarterback, be doing the best, it's rather disappointing.
It's weird.
I mean, not for Mac Jones, the Patriots, of course, but props to Mac Jones.
Yeah, props to him. I think the only QB that really can't be disappointed here is Trey Lance. That's because he's only started one game.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you got Trevor Lawrence and
Fields,
Zach Wilson.
Yep.
Well, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson are probably both on track to beat Peyton Manning's record of interceptions rookie year. So
at least they'll go down for something.
Yeah,
it won't be offensive rookie of the year. That's for sure.
It's brutal, but as I said, I think if the Jets can find the offense that they beat the Titans with, they can win this game. They're also coming off their bye, so they are going to be pretty well rested coming into this game. Patriots, not going to be well rested. They're just coming off
a brutal game against the Cowboys.
Yeah. So, you know, I can't see much of a exciting game happening here. I still think that New England will win. I don't know if they're going to cover the spread though, because I think the Jets, if they can, because of this defense that is full of holes right now.
Yep.
I think the Jets could come and swoop in and get a couple points here, but I do think the Pats will win.
Yeah. So the over or under right now on this game is 42.5. I feel like that's a lot of points for these underwhelming offenses to score.
Looking at what, like 3 touchdowns each? That's not happening.
I don't see that happening. I have the Patriots winning, but I think I have the Jets covering the 7-point spread.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. I just don't see this. I don't see either offense doing that well, and I definitely don't see
either defense
doing
well.
Well.
Yep, agreed. So we got Cincinnati at Baltimore, 47-point total. The Bengals are coming off a huge win against the Lions, moving them to 4-2. However, they will now be going up against the best run defense team they've played so far. The Ravens have allowed, or not the best run defense, one of the best pass defense. They've allowed 277 yards per game, which is the 7th best in the league. So this means these Ravens wide receivers could potentially not be having the most impactful game. Player like Jamar Chase, who's had a really good season so far, should be lining up against Marlon Humphrey at least half of his routes. And Marlon Humphrey's a good cornerback, like probably top 5, top 7. So it's going to be hard for Chase to have a good game. And like, I could see it happening. He's proved that he can make plays by himself, but
mm-hmm.
Marlon Humphrey will definitely slow him down.
Yeah, he is definitely this year's Justin Jefferson. By far, I think he's got offensive rookie of the year locked in pretty much. If he keeps
yep,
it up.
As of right now, he should be the front runner.
But I mean, I'm looking at the Bengals. I don't see him. I don't see him succeeding here because Baltimore just seems, you know, too ready. They've been they beat on the Chargers. So what are the Bengals gonna do? Because
The Bengals definitely don't have as good of an offense as the Chargers do. And...
Mhm. Yeah. So I'm curious. This Chargers looking pretty good. People were calling them, Super Bowl contenders. But
yeah, people are not calling the Bengals Super Bowl contenders. Although Joe Burrow is having himself a season. He's playing really good. I believe last week the Bengals got T. Higgins back. He's definitely playing this week, so he might have an impact. Tyler Boyd, I expect him to have, maybe not, I still see Jamar Chase having a decent game, but I think Tyler Boyd will definitely be right behind him this week. He hasn't been getting a lot of action, but.
I wouldn't be surprised if Tyler Boyd ends up being their wide receiver 1 this week.
Yeah.
Regardless of how good that is. Against this defense, I think Tyler Boyd ended up getting wide receiver.
Yeah, he should. He is most likely to perform the best against this Ravens defense.
Oh yeah, I think that he is by far, by and large, one of the best wide receivers in the league. And I think he can make an impact against them. Because, I mean, they are down on there was a corner that got injured in the beginning of the year.
Marcus Peters.
They are down. They're still down a corner. So they're not.
I think they're down too because they lost. No, Jimmy Smith. He was injured, but it looks like he's back. So they got Marlon Humphrey and Anthony Averett. And I was watching rewatched the Colts game with the Ravens, and it just seemed like Anthony Averett was getting toasted by the Ravens wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at their secondary here, and I mean, they're definitely a solid secondary, but I don't think they're gonna be able to cover Tyler Boyd, because I mean, the last thing I expect is them to put Patrick Queen on him, because yeah. Patrick Queen's gonna be stopping the run. So with Joe Mixon, so I don't think they're gonna cover Boyd, and I think Boyd's gonna have himself a breakout game.
Yeah, he should. He should be in for a game. Now this Baltimore offense, let's just be honest, they're gonna run all. He's gonna run all over this Bengals defense.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It is gonna be a nightmare for the Bengals trying to stop him.
Yeah, I don't really see a world where this Bengals defense stops Lamar, because so far this year, I don't really think anybody has. So,
agreed. But also, the depth at on the Ravens running back core, we'll be seeing carries from Tyson Williams, Latavius Murray, Devontae Freeman, and Le'Veon Bell. So, yeah, they will all get a few attempts, and it's gonna be hard to plan for four running backs and Lamar. That's for sure.
Oh yeah, because you got a power back in there. You've got an elusive. You've got the best number one dual threat QB in the league.
Yep.
I mean, this defense, they're no match for him. They're no match. Nobody's a match for Lamar at this point. So I would strongly say that the Ravens win this game and they throttle him.
Yep. The 47-point total, 6.5 spread. I got the Ravens winning, covering the spread.
All right. So we got the Eagles at the Raiders. So, well, I guess we'll start on the Eagles offensive side of the ball right now. So the first big notable thing right now is that they have traded away Zach Ertz.
He's gone.
I believe they got no offensive lineman out of it. So that is a position they needed, though. So that means Dallas Goedert has the sole position of tight end pretty much in Philadelphia. But he is also questionable. So I kind of questioned the timing of that decision to trade Zach Ertz, but we'll see. Hopefully Goddard plays for the Eagles. We'll see what happens there.
Yeah, it'll be a big weapon.
Mm-hmm. And Zach Ertz obviously is going to – I don't know how much of an impact he'll make in Arizona. He could – if he comes back as, the top five tight end he once was, then obviously he's gonna be a big factor there. But, we never know. We could get Zach Ertz from last year, so – I guess we'll have to see. And then obviously Jalen Hurts has been, he's not been the best QB this year, but
he also hasn't been the worst.
Right. He's definitely grown a little bit. He is one of the biggest dual threat QBs right now, because if you look at his stats, he's got 8 passing touchdowns, but he's also got 5 rushing. I mean, that's a solid amount of touchdowns. Like just less than like half of his touchdowns come from rushing the ball, which is clearly not the Raiders' specialty. If I'm correct, they don't actually have that good of a run defense. So,
yeah, the Raiders have a better pass rush.
Right. They did beat the Ravens, though, so they did stop Lamar. So maybe I'm wrong there, though. But no, this is going to be a good test for Justin Fields. Jalen Hurts. I don't know why I said Justin Fields. Going to be a good test for him, though, considering the Raiders are supposedly pretty good, although they seem to be slacking right now. Miles Sanders, supposedly could be starting to see way more touches coming his way. And I mean, I don't know what is going on with the Raiders and why they're not using him. I think
he's very talented.
He's getting 15 touches a game. You have who was believed to be one of the best running backs. Well, not probably not one of the best, but you know, top 15,
top 12, yep.
Top 15, top 12 running back. I mean, why aren't you? So I've heard he is going to be getting way more touches soon, which
yeah, this Eagles this schedule is starting to get a little bit easier. So they're not going to be playing as many good teams. So Sanders is going to get more work on the ground and hopefully in the receiving game as well, as he can do that.
Right. And hopefully he can he'll be playing his, you know, full ability. I will say, Eagles, they have lost to some strong teams, Chiefs, Bucks, and Cowboys. You know, that is a
– that's a tough schedule.
That's a tough schedule right there. But they beat the 3-0 Panthers, who we were just talking about, and how they – you know, their team is pretty stacked as far as, you know, talent-wise. So I don't know – I think it's really hard to tell whether this Eagles – team is really good.
Yeah, they have the potential to beat the big teams.
Right.
But they also have the potential to not put up numbers. And I think that revolves around Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I can see him squeaking their way into the playoffs, and I can also see him not even coming close.
Yep.
So, especially now with the Cowboys there, I think the Cowboys take it, but
oh, for sure.
Eagles have a team that is not as good as people, or not as bad as people are saying.
They're probably finished as the second best team in the NFC East.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Well, they could, because Washington kind of depends on how Washington does.
Yeah, it does. Their defense needs to turn it around.
Yeah, Washington's defense turns around, then Dallas might have a run for his money. Now we can move on to the Raiders part of the game. Clearly, having some recent controversy has led to some regression. John Gruden, a big story with them still. But they also, they're going to, Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards are both questionable. If they don't make this game, their receiving core is going to be struggling, because that is the receiving core.
Then they're just going to have to rely upon Darren Waller, and then my fantasy team will succeed because I'll get 30 targets, and I'll be happy.
Yeah, they'll have what? Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller, and that's it. Willie Snead and Zay Jones, I guess, are there. And as a Bills fan, I do know that Zay Jones isn't that bad. But, you know, I mean, that you can't be missing two star wide receivers there. Edwards has really come out this year, I will say. If he plays, he's been surprisingly good.
So,
I didn't even know his name.
So PFF-wise, he has a bad grade first through third quarter, but I believe he has one of the highest PFF grades throughout the fourth quarter and overtime.
It's crazy. He comes out in clutch moments, and that's really what this Raiders team needs, because the Raiders never beat down on anybody. They just kind of
They play it close.
Yep. And then we can go to their defense, which Max Crosby has been playing pretty well.
He's been a beast.
Especially 3 sacks against Denver. But, I mean, their defense is pretty healthy. I don't think they have too many injuries on their starters.
Yeah, they don't.
So
let's get back to Max Crosby. He's been a monster this season. He's the highest graded edge defender in the NFL. He has a 91.5 grade.
Yeah.
He's just a monster. And pass rush, he's number one as well. He's just had a really good game. Do you know how many?
Yeah, I mean,
do we know how many sacks he's at? He's got to be close. I know Garrett's the.
I believe he's at 5 actually. He's only just been starting to do that well though. I will say,
yeah.
I was looking at his stats, and you know he's getting there. He's getting to the point where, 5 sacks,
yeah.
16 tackles. He's got no forced fumbles, but he does have a safety, which is, you know,
yeah. He's establishing himself as one of the best edge rushers in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you're one of the highest graded pass rushers in the league, and you're in a league with Aaron Donald and
Miles
people
Garrett,
like Chris
yep.
Jones, even. Like it's crazy. It's crazy
it
stat.
Is.
So he is doing well, and you know Vegas does have one of the highest ranked offenses in the league, and their defense is at least mid-tier to upper tier. Their secondary, if I'm correct, isn't too great. But
Vegas's?
Yeah.
Yeah, they signed Casey Edwards, and he has been the best free agent signing. He has played extremely well this year. He's the highest graded cornerback. He's also the highest graded cornerback in coverage. Yeah, he's played really good. Other than that, I don't think anyone stood out. The rookie Trayvon Merrick hasn't done much.
Yeah, I'm looking at this lineup, and on paper, this defense should be top tier.
It should be.
Because Jonathan Abram's one of the best safeties in the league, but this team is not performing as well. But their offense is still ranked one of the highest, and their defense is solid. And they've been performing solid, so I do have the Raiders winning and covering a -3-point spread.
Yeah, I have the Raiders winning and covering the 3-point.
And the over-under is 49, which I think that's respectable given that neither defense is that great. And I think Vegas puts up quite a bit of points against this team.
Yeah, agreed. So, Lions at the Rams. Goff versus Stafford is the storyline, but it's not really much of a story. It's gonna be a bad story. The Rams are just gonna slaughter the Lions. They're gonna trampede over the Lions.
This is gonna be a bad game.
Yeah. Some players that are gonna have big games on the Rams: Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, Daryl Henderson, Tyler Higbee, Matthew Stafford. Basically, anyone who steps out onto that field, they're gonna have a good game. They're gonna have a good game.
I think Detroit's a better team than 0-5.
They're a better team than 0-5.
Are gonna kill them.
The Rams are gonna kill
them. It's not even a question.
The Rams just killed the Giants. The Rams are gonna kill the Lions. It's gonna be brutal to watch.
This is gonna be a slaughterhouse. Luckily for me, I have Daryl Henderson and Tyler Higbee on fantasy, so
they should put up some good numbers for you. Cup, people who drafted Cup in like the 4th and 5th round, they're gonna be a real winner this week. It wouldn't surprise me if he puts up the most points has all season, and he's put up some ridiculous numbers.
I'm pretty sure in every one of my leagues I could have drafted Cup and I didn't, so I'm pretty sad. But
Lions
won't
do much.
Pretty much a lock.
Yeah,
this is a lock.
This is the lock of the week. Lions don't have much of a chance. Their only chance is probably DeAndre Swift, and he's coming off an injury. I don't see the Lions scoring more than 10 points. There's a 15-point spread for the Rams. I say they cover, and I'd be fine if it was probably, I don't know, maybe like a 20-point spread. Honestly, that's not that unreasonable.
No, I think a 20-point spread is where I would place this game. This is Rams killing. End of story. I don't see any hope for this Detroit team here.
I do not as well.
And we can go ahead and move on to the Texans Cardinals game once again.
Another
lock of the week.
Yep.
Texans obviously have been struggling all year long.
Davis Mills, long neck Mills, he's gonna have a. We'll see what he does. We'll see what he does.
This is a tough game.
Probably not much, but.
I will say, I was looking at the Cardinals. Their offensive line, 3 of the starters are either out or questionable. So Kyler Murray's going to be losing some protection. So it doesn't really matter because this Texans defense is not going to do anything to him. This is going to be a pretty sad game.
Yeah, it's not a threat.
Cardinals defense also looking brutally injured except for their secondary. Once again, doesn't matter. There's no run game for Texans, so any pass game that they wanted to do, Cardinals still have their entire secondary up. It's just their linebackers and defensive ends are pretty much all injured or questionable. So look for I can see Texans scoring, and I can see him. I could see him maybe getting or not. Not getting the spread or covering the spread because Arizona's favored -17.5. That's a lot of points for a defense that's almost entirely injured. So look for maybe the spread isn't a maybe the spread is a little
it's
too
not
far
unreasonable.
Off. Right, because the Cardinals, yeah, they're 6-0 team. But, I mean, if you don't have a defense, well, like, there's not really much you can do there. So,
this is the highest spread this week. So, Texans could cover.
Yeah.
I have Cardinals winning. I still have them covering the 17.5 point spread, but it wouldn't shock me if the Texans could get Brandon Cooks in the end zone for a score and cover it. I don't know though.
Yeah. And if this D line's out, I could see Mark Ingram or Philip Lindsay or one of those running backs to get in. I mean, if you look at one of their past games when they played the Jaguars, they didn't even beat the Jaguars by the 17.5 spread. And honestly, Jaguars may be a 1-win team, but I see the Lions as better than them. So maybe, or not the Lions.
The Cardinals are definitely.
I see.
The Texans. Yeah.
No, I. Yeah, I can see the Texans potentially covering the spread, and maybe Arizona doesn't blow them out as much as is believed so, but it's Arizona's win. It's
For sure.
Not even a question. Arizona wins. It's just by how much.
Yeah. The Bears at Tampa Bay. The Bears, they're a run-heavy offense. Montgomery and Williams are both out, leaving the Bears rookie running back Khalil Herbert to deal with one of the best run defenses in the NFL. They won't be running the ball much, even though that is their forte. But also, Fields has not been passing the ball much, so I don't know how they're going to score. Fields hasn't had the best through-the-air game, and they can't run on this defense, so I don't know how they're going to score.
I will say, Khalil Herbert had himself a game last week. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw, if we did see quite a bit of usage out of him. I'm not sure what's going to happen, though, because, you know, I think Tampa Bay, their defense is just too strong. But I do think Khalil Herbert is going to be able to at least pull something, even just a little bit out, because I mean, he had 97 yards and a touchdown on 19 carries last week, and three targets, two receptions for 15 yards as well. And that's against the Green Bay defense, which, I mean, isn't bad. So
I
can definitely see him doing all right.
Definitely not bad, but they're nowhere near. They're probably like bottom 15. From what it looks like, they did not have Za'Darius Smith last week, so that didn't help them at all. I definitely think Khalil Herbert will be bottled up pretty quick by this this Buccaneers defense, because week one, Zeke and Tony Pollard, they barely ran the ball at all, and they are extremely better than Khalil Herbert, so I just don't see where the Bears are going to score.
Yeah, I don't see much happening here. I think Khalil Herbert is I think he'll find his way into the end zone at least once. I don't think he's going to get very many yards. I think it's going to be one of those they get a fluke drive that puts him on the one, and they
maybe like Fields gets a 65-yard run somehow, but Allen Robinson could have a good game. He's a good receiver. It's just he's been quiet this season, but against
he's been quiet, and this secondary is hard.
Yeah, this.
So I don't see Chicago even coming close to this game.
Yep, this 12.5 spread should be a lot bigger in my opinion.
I think you could swap this 12.5 for the 17.5.
Yep.
And it would be fine, because the 12.5, I could see a 12.5 with David Montgomery in, because Montgomery is a stud.
He's a beast. Yep.
But Khalil Herbert, rookie, has realistically only started one game. You know, I just don't see how you can how the Bears will be able to rely. So
yeah,
I'm giving this Tampa Bay beating the spread. Easy, easy win.
They'll
for
definitely
Tampa.
Cover the 12.5. Antonio Brown, he looks like Steelers Antonio Brown. He looks like he could be the best receiving target on the Bucs offense.
Yeah, I can't figure this out. They you got Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown comes season as the third stringer. Right now, he's getting I think he's getting more targets than both of them. So
yeah, he's definitely one of Brady's favorites. Now Gronk is questionable, which means he'll probably most likely be coming back to play this week. So that is definitely going to take away targets from all three of the receivers because the Brady Gronk connection is very strong.
Oh yeah, and I think Gronk coming back just hurts this defense more. This Bears defense has already enough problems to deal with. You're dealing with the GOAT and, you know,
the best wide receiving core in the league.
Receiving core in the league. Is Antonio Brown a Hall of Fame wide receiver?
Oh, sure.
I think you have to say
There's arguments that he is better than Julio Jones.
Yeah, so...
And I personally have him above Julio.
I would put him above Julio, especially right now.
Yeah.
And so you've got one pretty much for sure Hall of Fame wide receiver, two who very well could make it in their career because they're both very young. I mean, this team is just too hard to handle. Chiefs couldn't do it in the Super Bowl. Bears definitely aren't doing it now.
Yep, agreed. Bucks won this one easy.
Yep, easy win. All right, so now we got the Colts at 49ers. Jimmy G and Carson Wentz, two QBs who have definitely heard their fair share of controversy as over whether they should still be starting in this league or not. Right now, I have Colts underdogs of the week.
Yep.
They are ranked pretty much neck and neck with San Francisco offensively and have allowed, I believe it's almost 2 or 3 points fewer per game compared to San Francisco. So, they're ranked higher in both of those. They just came off a huge win, huge momentum boost with 31-3 against the Texans.
Yeah, granted, Carson Wentz having a monster game.
Yeah, granted, it is the Texans, but those are the wins that really, put some fire under your team squad. They get amped. It's how you get everyone excited to keep playing. So I think that's really good. Keep the momentum going. We'll see them against the 49ers on Sunday. I will say, so two of their losses came up against Baltimore and the Rams. However, if you look at these games, 31-25 in OT with Baltimore, being, one of the best teams in the league right now, MVP caliber QB. Rams, they lost 27-24, field goal difference. Stafford, MVP, Super Bowl caliber team. So they're putting up really good fights against two contenders. So, I don't think you can fault them for that. I think they are playoff abilities. And I don't see that in San Francisco. So I will say for this game, Colts, they have a struggling secondary. Julian Blackman is out with a torn Achilles. And their only active free safety on the roster is Andrew Sandejo, who is also now questionable.
And has been bad. He used to be a Viking.
Brutal, yeah.
He was pretty good on the Vikings. We let him go. He went to the Browns. The Browns cannot stand him. They wanted him to leave right away. It's not often that a team dislikes a player on their team. The Browns can't stand Zendejo. So found himself on the Colts. I don't think he's having that bad of a season, but he's definitely not a starter. He shouldn't be.
Right, he shouldn't be your starter, and he's not the free safety you want, but he's all they got right now. Darius Leonard's questionable. Rocky Sin is also questionable, and rookie Quiddy Pay is questionable as well. So those are some key defensive players that are that might not be playing. Hopefully, I think for the Colts, I think they all will be. But that could put a hurting on their defense, especially if Darius Leonard's out. Darius Leonard's their key defensive player. It's going to hurt them if they don't have him. Now, on the 49ers side, they're pretty much fully healthy. I don't think they have a single big injury. I'm pretty sure Jimmy G is going to be playing. They're coming off their bye week. They're all going to be rested up. However, they've been on a 3-game losing streak, and hopefully for them, they can break that series. Two of those losses were against the Cardinals and the Packers, two of some of the better offenses in the league and definitely
And they were both close games.
Right, two close games. One of their losses against Seattle, they did have Russ during that game. So, you know, I mean, not like these losses are bad losses. It's not like losing to the Giants or someone like that. Like, they're losing to good teams.
They're
so
quality losses.
Right. So, 49ers, don't count them out, but Colts are winning this game.
Yep. Colts. We both got the Colts as the underdogs.
Colts momentum is up. Their team is not as bad as it looks. They should be coming on the up and up, and I see them with a winning record in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Agreed. So we both got the Colts winning. I think I got San Fran covering the 4-point spread.
I would almost say the Colts can buy a touch. I think Jonathan Taylor's gonna have himself a game. I think Nick Bosa is just not. I just haven't seen his name pop up. I'm not seeing him playing as well as he's supposed to be. So, you know, I'm seeing. I'm thinking Jonathan Taylor does really well, and I'm thinking Carson Wentz.
Is another really good game.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Well, I think we see the Colts. I think we see the Colts succeeding this week.
Yep. Agreed.
Alrighty, so we got Jameis Winston at Geno Smith, Saints at Seahawks. This I think would have been the game of the week had we had Russ and Carson been playing, because these are two teams that, you know, typically you see almost always in the playoffs doing very well. But Seahawks, they're hitting that injury block right now. They're down obviously Russ and Carson in the last couple weeks. Running thin at running back, Alex Collins could be out this week, which would leave DJ Dallas as their starting running back. Not your ideal scenario there at all. Sidney Jones is also potentially questionable. I believe that's one of their top corners. So I don't know. They're hitting that injury block pretty hard, but yep. They did recently claim Jacob Eason from the Colts.
Could we be seeing a mid-game swap?
Can we see Geno Smith out and Jacob Eason in for a Jacob Eason comeback win? That would be fantastic.
Jacob Eason MVP narrative? Yeah. It could start this game. You never know.
Never know. I would love to see Jacob Eason come in. I love Geno Smith, but Jacob Eason coming in would be so funny. So I think Jacob Eason getting claimed is a key an idea of the Seattle's not confident in Geno, and I think Geno's gonna recognize that, and hopefully Geno can
maybe he'll
you know,
step
come
up
back.
A little. Yeah.
Yeah. So we also have Seattle ranked among the worst defenses in the league. They have the most yards given up with 433 per game, and one of the highest at 24.8 points per game. That is brutal, especially against a when you're going up against an offense
with Alvin Kamara in
Kamara.
It. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is bad. This is not good for the Seahawks. So on the Saints side of the ball, Michael Thomas is still out. Their offensive line is pretty injured. They're getting thin at wide receiver because Michael Thomas is out. Deontay Harris is questionable as well. So now you're left with Marquez Callaway, pretty much your only real starting wide receiver in the normal lineup. So Not looking great for him. Jameis has an 86.4 QBR in away game. That is brutal. Because in home games, you know, he looks like your normal good QB, good starting QB. These away games, he just isn't it. Let's see. Other than that, I mean, they are one of the better defenses. But they also lost to the Panthers and the Giants. So you don't know if they're good or not. So right now, I have Saints winning and covering a 4.5 spread.
Yeah, I have the Saints winning as well and covering the 4.5 spread. It should be it shouldn't be that close of a game.
I think it's gonna be I think this game is a toss up, but I think whatever team wins is gonna win by a lot because the Saints defense is good, but Jameis isn't good away, clearly. I think he's averaging like 20 points lower
in
away
games.
That's
crazy. I think the Seahawks are just going to get out-coached. Carroll is obviously not doing that well as a coach now, and Sean Payton's always been a really good coach, so.
Yeah, I think Saints win.
I think the Saints will pull it out pretty easily.
I think Saints win. I think I would love to see Jacob Eason come in. If that happens, it's definitely going to be a Saints win. But,
oh, 100%.
There's not much hope for the Seahawks here, but, you know, you never know. Could always have room for an upset. But, yeah, Saints win pretty comfortably. And hopefully Jameis can boost his QBR rating in the away games.
Hopefully. Saints move to 4-2.
Yep.
Well, I believe that is all. We've reviewed everything. Nothing left on the table, I don't think. We should be coming back for a Week 7 review sometime in the next couple days. Anything else, Eric?
I think we've covered it today. We'll see y'all in a few days.
Yep. Have a good one, you guys.